Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
In 1939, construction workers and archaeologists excavating the grottos beneath St. Peter's Basilica stumbled upon a necropolis that held a number of stone coffins. One of the coffins held an inscription that indicated that St. Peter himself had been buried within. The bones were placed inside an unassuming shoebox and then recovered by the Vatican, who kept them secured and away from close scrutiny. Vatican correspondent Bruno Bartoloni wrote that the bones were kept so closely guarded mainly because of a 1,000-year curse that had been placed on the resting place of St. Peter that would befall those who disturbed his final resting place. The Vatican has existed for over 2,000 years, with its long-reaching influence in the Western world shaping many of the important events of history. Within its span of one of, if not the, most powerful organizations in Europe, it's not unusual that legends and rumors tell of the powerful secrets held within their vaults. This case file joined the theorists as they take a spin in the Popemobile and delve into the secrets of the Vatican.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing, Case File 185, The Vatican. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Oh, highly requested topic. Almost too much. There's too much in it. So we're going to have to.
Yeah. Like, honestly, we're not going to call this Vatican Part 1, but this is going to be, we're going to leave this open-ended.
It's the mysteries of the Vatican, specifically the archives, for the most part.
We could probably do a 10-parter.
So more, what you're saying is more archives, less diddling? Is that what we're focused on
leave
today?
Leave the diddling out.
We're going to try to do all the like instances between the diddling, when the diddling would ramp down and they would do some other shady shit. And then they'd be like, back to diddling.
Circle around the diddling.
Yeah, that's okay, what it says. Okay. I mean, because it's rampant crazy. I mean, the other shit's just unbelievably depressing.
It's so sad.
Like, it's crazy. I know we touched upon, like, the shit in Rwanda.
Well, if we're calling it's mysteries of the Vatican, we know there was diddling.
That's not a mystery.
Like, that's not a mystery. Like,
yeah, stay tuned for horrors of the Vatican.
You know, the worst part too, like you touched on it, like Rwanda, and then we talk about the diddling, and then like the fucking Vatican Bank, the way they aided the Nazis escaping. Like, there's some fucked up shit that's going on in this place.
Hey, a little tidbit, if you want a little backstory into the Vatican Bank, you should go onto our patreon.com/alienstheoristpodcast, because me and Dan do a three-parter on Operation Gladio.
And it's crazy.
And they were fucking...
It's the strange triangle between the CIA, the Mafia, and the Vatican.
Yeah, and they were basically funding black operations all through Europe. It's a wild one, but like I said, this one we're gonna keep it a little lighter and focus on some Vatican mysteries.
We're going through the internet, the lore of the Vatican, what may be hidden in the archives, and all the rest, all the other goodies.
keeping it PC here.
Yeah, for this one. We'll get to the other stuff.
How are we going to start this one off?
So if we're specifically talking about the Vatican, which is located in this, you know, next to the city of Rome. I've been there. When I traveled through Europe, I've been there before. It's really impressive. Been inside St. Peter's Basilica and all that. Like it is, it's really cool.
Wonder Dan, of architecture.
Can I ask you a question then? This is what I thought, because the Vatican's a country, its own separate country, right?
City state. Yes.
Like technically. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you're going in there, because it's like, is there like passport check where you have to like get your passport stamped to go into the Vatican?
It's been a while, but I don't really remember it. I don't think there was like a checkpoint. I think we went in as part of like a tour group, really.
So it's like an open border. It's like,
Yeah, you just kind of like go in and then we just like, I don't remember getting passport checks or anything like that. I can't remember, really recall.
On a quick search, it says, because it has no airport or sea borders and there's only one entrance, that you don't need a passport because
took a taxi. We were in Rome and it's like, we just took a taxi to Vatican City.
Yeah. You're already in Italy. There's no other way to get to the Vatican unless you're already in Italy. So
yeah,
it makes sense, I guess, but
it's pretty much like getting into Disneyland. Same shit.
Yeah.
If Disneyland were its own country, I guess, so it's city state, which it will be someday.
Almost.
Yeah. It should be.
Dude. And most of the Vatican's like 600 citizens are foreign nationals.
Well, I was reading something. Don't you have to actually like be employed to live there?
Yeah. And if you have a job, there's like a certain amount of residency, you can stay there. And if you lose your job, they kick you out.
Yeah.
Can't stay here. Kick rocks, bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's it is an amazing, the architecture there and just the history that you can feel in that from there. It's kind of mind-boggling. Like you go inside that basilica and it's huge. It's way kind of like small from the outside. And you get inside and it's just nuts. You've got Michelangelo's Pietà like sitting over there. We took a tour. We got to go inside.
The Pietà, yes.
Like
we've quite got familiar.
The statue of Mary holding the body of Jesus Christ. And then you also have when we went. I was lucky enough to go to the Sistine Chapel, and when we were inside, they actually lit it up, which they don't do very often, apparently, because the light damages the pigments and things like that. But so, they actually lit it up.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that's where they keep all the porn, right?
I mean, the Sistine Chapel is just chock full of naked people, so I mean...
So pretty much.
All right. But if we're talking about mysteries of the Vatican, then what most people refer to as the most mysterious part of the Vatican is perhaps the secret, or what is referred to as the secret. I probably should put that in quotes. Secret archives located Secrets. There, which is like something like 52 miles of just documents, treatises and things like that, which are located in a secure location in Vatican City. And pretty much the only way you get in there is if you are a pretty high-ranking or
diddler.
No.
But some diddlers have probably been in there.
If you are a scholar or something, like a high-ranking scholar or something like this.
Grandmaster.
I heard they let like some people from the media in there as well. Like,
they have. That's recent, before, though. Yeah, you need like special permission to get in. You cannot, it's not like a library. It's not a public library. They don't let you just walk in and browse these stacks of historical documents. You have to know what you're
looking for,
right,
and be specific. So it's like, you're like, I want the book on the UFO. And they're like, not specific enough. We're not giving it out.
Yeah.
Like you got to know exactly you need
the time, the date, title, the shape of the UFO. Everybody's the names first. Last names, their mother's maiden names of the people who saw it. And then,
well, it's genius, documents. Right? Because then with those rules, like, yeah, if you know what you're looking for, we'll give it to you. But they're like, well, I don't really know what I'm looking for. I think this. And they're like, well, that's not it. We don't have that. Unless you got to be specific. They have no Dewey Decimal System there.
It's right? Random.
Well, it's very similar to the FOIA, like making a FOIA request. It's like, you need to know exactly what you're looking for.
Bullshit. This goes against everything I learned from Arthur. Having fun isn't hard when you got a library card. You should be able to walk right in that place. Have a look at whatever the fuck you want.
Dude, so like for the longest time, for like hundreds of years, if you could only gain access to the archives, if you're like a top, what are they?
Diddler.
a clergyman? What do they call them in Catholic? Bishop? What's the top?
Bishops and things like bishops and cardinals are like the big ones. But you could, well, they actually let scholars in, like secular scholars and things like that. And I think they kind of opened it up in like the 1860s, I believe, is when it really kind of opened up. Like they allowed like Holy See archivist started letting people in. And to go and look through these documents, because there are some important historical documents in there. They have the, you know, the papal bulls of like excommunication of Martin Luther. They've got the papal bulls
I'm so dumb. I thought there was some sort of bull they actually had, some physical bull. I was like, what's with all these bulls that they keep?
Yeah, every time they wanted to make a announcement, the Pope would get a bull and then they would inscribe it on the side of the bull and then they would let it out.
No, you just yell it into the bull and you get a sweet echo coming out of the bull so everybody can hear it.
Yeah.
It's only in recent times though, like you can get in, but you can only get like 10 documents a day and you're only allowed 4 hours. Like there's still a lot of stipulations of who, like what you're allowed to do in there. It's not like you get a pass, you can just spend 2 weeks just digging through the archives. You have to have like a specific timeline and you're only allowed to read so much stuff.
Right. Even if you're a really prestigious scholar from some leading university, you still have to follow the rules. And some of the rules are still pretty constrictive about what you can take and what you can look through. So
even if you're a maester,
And the other problem is some of the, like a lot of these documents are in completely different languages.
Latin and shit.
And need translating. So it's right, it's like you're behind the eight ball no matter how you go at it.
Yeah.
Time constraints, you know, things need to be translated. It's not like you're making photocopies.
It's all the ancient Greek, ancient Latin, all the Latin, like all languages that don't really exist anymore. Only so many people can read them. And can we just talk about for a second the 50 miles of shelves? Is that like per shelf they're considering? Or is that like just, so if there's like 10 shelves on a rack, is that like considering each shelf? Or is that just like actually 50 miles
of racks? It's probably like a length of shelves. It's probably like if you go up and down, up and down.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Still, 50 miles?
Like, yeah,
like the Vatican City is not that big. So I'm like, is the whole underground just fucking miles of tunnels?
Just miles of just like, well, just the rooms and rooms of
forbidden
books and stuff,
knowledge.
Yeah. Forbidden knowledge.
Secrets.
And secrets held within. Like one, number one, the Grand Grimoire.
Ooh, the Dragon Rouge.
Le Dragon Rouge. The Grand Grimoire is believed to be held in the secret archives. It is a medieval grimoire or book of magic, essentially, that is said to possess immense powers.
Well... It kind of ranges. I mean, it some of it's like, hey, this book tells you how to summon Lucifer or some other guy, the prime minister of hell.
Well, no, I think that's the weird thing, that like everything that I was reading, it mostly centered around the Lucifuge Rofocale.
Yeah.
Which was like
was,
the...
Pronounce that again. That was great.
Nice.
Lucifuge Rofocale.
Rofocale.
He's hell's government and treasury.
Even hell has like, a treasury?
Oh yeah, he's the banker, man. He's the guy that runs the shit.
That's true, I guess. I mean,
but like
criminals.
So like this book mentions,
what else would
like,
be more damning than having to work in a giant bureaucracy for the rest of your life? Like that's what I imagine hell is like. It's endless bureaucracy and paperwork.
So what you're telling me here is this grimoire is pretty much the pick of destiny. Once you get it, you you control the devil and you can do a whole bunch of cool stuff. Or?
What? It's kind of cool that you say that though, because this is pretty much the fucking like premier demonic pact. Like this was like the first one ever documented. This is where they get all those different, like making a deal with the devil from, basically.
Yeah. It is said to have been written during the 18th century, or I think during the 18th century is when they kind of had this, I guess, what is referred to as the cheap grimoire boom in France. And so this is where you get a bunch of copies of the actual Grand Grimoire or the original one. The original one was said to have been written by an apocryphal figure known as Honorius of Thebes. And he claimed to actually have been possessed by the devil himself when he wrote it. So, you know, he's getting firsthand knowledge to write it down.
Okay, hold on. That doesn't line up for me at all. When I read that, I went, so hold on, give me one second here, because this, when you read about the Grand Grimoire, it outlines how to summon the devil. and then you can smite him with a power shaft, power rod. What was it?
No, you rod blast him with the power blasting rod. Yeah. You give him blasting a fucking rod. Blast
you
with it.
You smite him rod. As he comes, and then you control him, and then you can make a deal with him. And I'm like, so you're telling me this motherfucker got possessed by the devil, and the devil went, you know what? Let me pull out my pen here, and I'm going to write down exactly how you can summon me in the future, and smite me when I come, when you summon me.
Well, maybe he's just doing it to, like, you know, make his boy Lucifuge a bitch.
Yeah, it's not him. There's still, I think there's important to make distinctions between, like, Satan and Lucifer and, like, Asmodeus and Asphodel and, like, all the other, you know, alleged demons and denizens of hell. I think there's a bunch of different ones. So
the book talks about, well, Lucifer as the emperor, Beelzebub as the prince, and Astaroth as the grand duke of hell. So those are like the three, the big cheeses. And then you have like Santa Anch, oh fuck, how do you, Satan Anchia, Agualarep, Fuolorte, Sargantanus, and Nebiros. Those are like
And Lucifuge Rofacale.
Oh, yes. Rofacale. Yeah. Rofacale. So six lower demons and three head honchos of hell. So are you summoning Lucifer then? Are you summoning like the emperor of hell?
I don't think so. I think you're probably summoning the prime minister. Lucifuge. The
prime minister. Lucifuge Rofacale.
Yeah. Well, that would make more sense, right? Because when I was reading this, I went, okay, there's no way you're actually summoning Lucifer because it wouldn't make sense. It would make sense that this guy was maybe possessed by Lucifer. Lucifer wrote this book of how to summon and control Lucifuge Rofacale because you still make a deal with him that's for your soul, right?
So the treasure of hell, what's the currency?
What souls, buddy.
Souls. It's like
souls and Bitcoin.
Orphan's tears.
Dude, souls are like crypto of hell. That's what it is.
Yeah.
There's, sure. You know, there's a finite number of souls in the universe, like a finite number of crypto.
Yeah, but wouldn't there be like a, like what's the, wouldn't there be like a thing about quality? Like, or is it quality over, is it quantity or is it quality? Like how? No.
Quality of the soul? Yeah. Maybe a better quality soul is worth more. I guess, yeah. I mean, probably one of these lesser demons, probably that's his job. Inspect souls, give it a rating. I don't know. that was nowhere in the research. We're adding to the lore now. different levels of souls.
Yeah, the literature about this, the Grand Grimoire, it's not 100% sure whether, even if it is located in the archives, if it's kept in the archives, if it's the original one, or it's a copy of the original one. So we're not 100% sure. But yeah, this thing is, this is one of the things that they believe is held down there.
No, and it's hidden like under the archive in a
right,
secret.
It's right next to the Necronomicon.
Chamber of secrets with the fucking
secrets.
Well, apparently this book, is this the book too where I read, like, and now I might be mistaking, confusing some reasoning, but this book also details how popes are corrupted, like newly elected popes are corrupted.
Yeah, that is also one of them, yeah.
Right? So if this is a thing outlining how, like, new popes are like, this is what happens. The pope gets a thing, and then he's corrupted by Lucifuge. You wouldn't want this getting out because they're like, well, then are all elected popes getting, you know, swayed by the devil? Like, is this the thing? So I like to think that it's in some case and every night someone just goes and pets the grimoire and it's fleshy and it's got that purple aura and he's, good.
Good. Yes.
Yeah, soon.
Okay, so in order for me to get the grimoire, summon my pal, the devil.
Zell, come on. You wrote the fucking grimoire. Don't even start with us.
I'm trying to get it back. That's what I'm saying. So it's buried. I've been looking for
that
it for a while.
Signed. It's valuable.
it's buried in the archives, so I have to venture to the Vatican.
Zelltron original. I need that back.
You have to request it in its original biblical Hebrew or Aramaic name, because that's what it's said that it's to have been written in.
Were they still writing in... I guess so. And well, because they said original copies might have been from as early as 1500s, but this wasn't till 17, whatever.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, some people claim that it was written in 1520, and then some others say that it was discovered in the tomb of Solomon in 1750. And then, yeah, whether it was what language it's written in is still, I think, a matter of debate.
Yeah. I was surprised by the lack of, like, there's not a lot of equipment required to summon Lucifer or Lucifuge, whoever's coming up. I mean, you need a blasting rod to smite him when he pops up.
Oh.
You need a stone called Emetil or Emetile. I don't know. Two blessed candles, both of which would be used to form a triangle of pax so that the summoner may be protected by the spirit with the original grand grimoire, of course. And that's it. Boom, you're making deals with the devil. You're wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, but you're going to have to national treasure that fucking grand grimoire out of there to do it. Not to mention you got some rock. You don't even pronounce the fucking word. How are you going to find that thing?
Well, how rare do you think?
I don't know, because you can't say it properly. I don't even know what it is.
Matile.
It's a bloodstone.
Bloodstone?
Yeah.
In what? In Latin?
It's like a stone made of blood what?
Hey, I can get one for $75.
That's it? Etsy. That's all Amazon. It takes?
That's kind of pricey. Etsy.
How do I get the smiting rod?
I think it's just a stick that you just whack with.
Well, it's a stick apparently capped with some sort of magnetized steel.
And it's some hazel. Witch hazel. Yeah.
And some sage.
But you can't whack him with it, Brayden. You keep missing the whole point. You got to fucking blast him with it. You know what that means, right?
Avada Kedavra?
Well, you can blast him with it.
Interesting. I was surprised by... I was like, there's got to be more to it because if that's it, like, the secret's out. Guess who's making a deal with the devil?
Why do you think there are so many rock stars? I mean, come on. It's really
I'm
easy.
About to go grab the Ouija board right now. I got a stick in the backyard. I got some type of gemstone I could make work.
In case Lucifuge doesn't fucking do it for you, you get to blast him in the ass with that stick.
I'm going to request Beelzebub, though. I don't want Lucifuge.
No, why? Dude, you get too crazy. You get way too ahead of yourself. First time we play Ouija, you're trying to call cheese. Zazu.
You don't want to go with the lower. You don't want to go with a lower demon. You want a high ranking.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with deal. I don't want a middleman.
I want someone who can make some calls and really do a deal. These low guys,
the big ball of shot calling.
The low guys are just car salesmen of hell. You know, they're not going to. They're trying to get the best deal for them. I want the best deal for me.
What else do we know about the Grand Grimoire?
I mean, that's pretty much it. Like as far as what it is and what it does. I mean, there's other information that might be included in the grimoire or written inside. There are things like casting magic spells, or there's the construction of magical amulets and other things like that. So, yeah, just I think it's pretty much like it's supposed to be the compilation of like all black magic, essentially, and being able to create it.
Is it bound in human flesh?
No, that's the Necronomicon, which is probably, like I said, it's probably right next to it. They're probably in the same section, you know? It's just like, you know, forbidden knowledge. It's just a big dark room.
Yeah,
it's
in the section, dark
the
arts.
The adult section of the books, you know, it's over there, yeah.
Yeah.
Behind a nice velvet rope or something.
Yeah, right next to the largest porn collection.
It's the bead curtains. Yeah. Like the fucking video store that you got to go through. So whenever you go through it, everybody hears it.
Shame. So what else is the Vatican hiding from us?
Another little interesting piece. Not only do they have grand grimoires and magical books, but apparently they also have technology that allows you to peer into the past. Ooh. Otherwise known as the Chronovisor. It sounds like something out of a Command and Conquer game, but it's not.
No, I was going to say, it sounds like a metal band. Man.
Chronovisor?
Badass. Does sound pretty rad. That is a pretty, somebody needs to make that a fucking band name. Chronovisor? Sounds neat.
Oh, and they just play songs from the, they play songs that sound like songs from the past.
Yeah.
So it's just a cover band.
Cover band.
They play metal covers.
Oh, there's a band called Chronovisor.
Damn it.
Surprised.
What do they play? What's their genre of music?
I'm looking.
Norwegian death metal, for sure.
Probably.
They don't have any.
They don't have. There's a band called Chronovisor, and they have no music.
No, they don't have any bio or anything. I don't want to play a song.
Too metal for bio.
Too metal for bio. Straight from hell itself.
Yeah, this is a weird one where it is. Apparently, it was an invention by one Father Pellegrino Ernetti.
I don't know if it was invented by him or he was just kind of the
brought it forward.
He leaked it.
No, he said that he worked on this thing with the help of people like.
What is his credentials? When you're about to list of who helped him make it, I go, how much did this guy really do other than just be there?
He's the business guy, you know? Well, he's wheeling and dealing.
Well, I don't know. He funded it. He backed it or whatever. I don't know. But he said, apparently he, in the 1950s, he worked with 12 famed scientists of some that included people like Enrico Fermi and Wernher von Braun.
Those are some heavy, heavy hitters.
Some pretty big guys. Because, you know, you want the, you know, the world's leading rocketry expert working on your time machine, I guess. I don't know. Like, what the fuck? Okay. Sure. And this is a, what it was meant to do is when he said that it allowed him to look into the past. So it's not necessarily like a time travel device. It's more like it allows you to look into the past. Like you would set the little, from what they the descriptions, it's like you set dials to the time and place that you want to see. Not,
all right. Let me dump it down for you. No, it's a pensive. Dude, it's a VR that you put in. And it's connected to Google Maps of the past. You Google Maps the time, date, and place, and you go there, and you can watch what's going on in live action.
But what if, it's like, that's, and that's great, because it's like, if you put the time, date, and place, but it's like, if you, because it doesn't sound like it's that precise, because they don't give a really good description about what it is. So I imagine, like, you put the time, date, and place, and what if it was just, like, a fucking, like, you know, shit pit, like, out in the middle of the city. Like, you put, like, you know, you put like Bethlehem, you know, zero AD, and then, you know, and you want to see the birth of Jesus Christ, and you're like, oh no, it's just a donkey taking a shit somewhere in Bethlehem. Like, it's like,
yeah, no. So you probably have to use your little joysticks to walk around.
Well, pretty much doesn't describe there being any, because he said that it from this, their descriptions of it, it's like you just, I don't think you get to walk around, it just shows you something.
Yeah.
No,
so it's the pensive.
It pretty much is like, it's like a box consisting of like old school tubes, like cathode ray tubes, like old school tech. And like, it looks like description was like, and had like antennas, and it was a box, and it would pick up electromagnetic radiation from distant events that were still bouncing around. So say like the event happened, it's bounced out into the ionosphere, then it's bounced into space, and then it keeps bouncing around. And this device, the Chronovisor, would pick up those ancient events, and you could, I guess, watch it. Do they have like
tune in?
I don't know if that like a screen or like a fucking goggles.
Ernetti described it that you would crowd around this invention, and it had like a little screen, and then you would watch, you know, things like speeches by Mussolini and Napoleon, or you'd watch scenes from ancient Rome. You could watch ancient performances of lost plays that people have never seen. That's what he claimed he was able to do.
They even published
a picture.
They did publish a picture, and they also said like they could watch like the crucifixion of Christ and like the whole shebang.
Right. Yeah, because that was in 1972, where the Italian magazine La Domenica del Corriere.
Oh, it was in the 70s? Corriere,
yeah.
This was okay, yeah. So you stand in front of this little box, and they're like, here you go, man, smoke this, and you go anywhere you want to fucking go.
put this on your tongue.
Yeah.
They published a picture of what Ernetti claimed was the crucified Christ, and it was like a face, like just the face, pretty much the face, like, the only pictures I could actually find that I guess that had been published in the paper were just like these black and white photos of, you know, an agonized face of someone, whether it's Jesus Christ or not. It's kind of, who knows?
Is it a white guy?
Yeah, it's definitely a white guy.
All right. 100%. And, probably didn't work then.
Yeah, they said that him and his team of, I don't know what you want to call them, chrononauts or whatever you want to call them, were able to watch everything in the last days of Christ, from the Last Supper to the final moments on the cross. And then he took a photo, I guess, of the screen or whatever, somehow, whatever the display that we're using, because nobody's ever actually seen this thing. And, you know, but then there was a little bit of a dispute as to whether that picture that showed up in the paper or was published in the paper seemed to strongly resemble the reversed image of a postcard from the location known as the Santuario dell'Amor Misericordioso in the town of Colle Valenza.
That sounded good. Yeah. Now this isn't the only tech that in the, you know, the lore of the internet or the history. Like, didn't Tesla have that machine? He said he could see the past, present, and future all happening simultaneous. And so he would have been, He's gone by this time. So maybe that tech. Oh, we know we got some heavy hitting names in here. We got Fermi. We got Von Braun. Maybe this is the continuation of Tesla's work.
And the coronavirus is said to be locked into the Vatican vaults because it was too powerful of a device and technology to let get in the wrong hands, which I'm sure it is in the wrong hands in the Vatican.
Exactly. Yeah. But
if you think about that for a second, like say, you know, and we can touch base on this, but like the Vatican did have connections to like, you know, the Nazi parties and stuff that like during World War II and stuff, they were really just hedging their bets. Like as much as, you know, they say we're not partial. Yeah. They weren't saying anything because they're like, who's going to win? And that's who we're going to be like, hey, good job.
As if they're like, hey, listen, those guys don't like Jews and we don't either. Maybe we'll back them.
Yeah.
Bad dudes.
They're also right. They were smack dab in the middle of a country that was, you know, surrounded like, by a fascist dictator. Like,
yeah. When you're sitting on,
but was Mussolini was an atheist, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but it's like if you make a wrong move and they just come, then they wipe out the church, they wipe out the Vatican.
Yeah, but let's just go down to the vault and get some of our sweet blasting rods and beat the Nazis by ourselves. Who cares? Call fucking Lucifer Cale or whoever the fuck, and he'll back us up. It's all good.
But so the thing is like, so if they got their hands on some Nazi like experimental tech, you know, we talk about, you know, the Nazis being very interested in this kind of stuff. Imagine how powerful that would be to see any event in the past, right? It would also be dangerous because if you're the Vatican and you're trying to sell this, for lack of a better word, make-believe story, and people can just tune in to the origins and go like, oh, this is all made up. Like you would definitely not want that to get in the hands of anyone who could disprove your version of history.
Yeah, if you're the head of the, you know,
the church, especially
of the Catholic Church, the biggest denomination of Christianity, and if you could go back and see if this Jesus Christ guy was he a real miracle worker, or was he just a guy that the stories were based around?
What's Mary doing? What's she doing over there? Turn it off!
Oh shit!
Turn it off! Get off her!
Oh, that's why they have the largest collection of porn. They're chronovisoring all of us. Anytime you've done anything, they've got it in their chronovisor at the Vatican Vault.
Does things take screenshots?
Does it take video recordings of the past events?
Well, apparently they were taking pictures of it.
Or did you take a picture of the screen with a different camera?
Yeah, but what I'm saying, that was what, 50 years ago? It's probably gotten a little better since then.
That's true. It's a digital coronavisor now. It's not analog anymore.
They're just recording all past events.
The ray tubes have been replaced with semiconductors, and it's all digital, and it records everything onto hard drives. And
yeah. It's like, it's what's that program in the States that listens to all your telephone calls?
NSA?
The agency? NSA, yeah. It's like that on steroids. It's like that on steroids. Just watches you and they have it recorded.
It could just go back to any point in your history and be like, yeah, he said that.
So they got blackmail and everything. Like any dark secret you've ever done, they're just like, hey, look at this video. And you're like, how did you get video of this? They're like, but you don't want this to get out.
I will say that Erdeni made these claims of having this chronovisor, but this exact type of a device was described in at least two or three popular science fiction stories that had been published like 30 years before he had made these claims. So stuff like this actually exist, or concepts for this did exist before Ernetti made his claims.
So it was in the zeitgeist of public knowledge. And
yeah, I mean, and the stories that came out, I mean, a lot of them are like what Philip K. Dick and all of them, like the concept of having, one of them was exactly like, one of the stories is exactly like Minority Report. It's like precog crime, where crime has become pretty much like you have the chronovisor so you can see the future. So crime is like non-existent, and you have you could only classify crimes as like, you know, crimes of passion or insanity. Pretty much, are the ones.
Isn't
that,
the
like,
chronovisor
happen.
just the past though? Or can you see the future with it as
No, you could see the future too, but it was like, you could see the past, like there's those ones you could see the future, but then you, there's also ones that you could see the past too. There's another story that pretty much tried to make the point that if you were able to see the past and you're able to like validate people's claims and things like this, it would end up destroying the world. And it was a pretty, it led the world to nuclear devastation. So, I mean, if you wanted to lock it up, I mean, that story makes a pretty good point as to why you would want to lock it up, because then you could just use, you could utilize those things in, you know, videos and stuff from the past to support propaganda films and things like that, pretty much like produce propaganda and whatever you wanted. So, you know,
Okay. That's just a cool concept. Something that can see the past through like residual radiation, somehow bouncing around the galaxy, and you can tune into something that happened 2,000 years ago and see it. That's some great sci-fi right there.
Mm-hmm.
But if it exists, then it's probably right beside the grimoire. We'll find it.
Kidding me? But if you want to talk about something like wearable tech as opposed to that one, one of the other things that I thought while we were going through the secrets of the Vatican, I didn't see this one listed as much, but I thought this is one of the things that you'd probably want to keep in the Vatican archives, is the object known as the Seal of Solomon, which is a cool ring that was reported, or in legends, it was said to be possessed by King Solomon and was given to him by God himself directly from heaven. And it was, gave him the ability to summon and control good and bad spirits, and, you know, AKA demons, and perhaps angels, and also allowed him to speak with animals, apparently.
And so, genies.
And genies. And genies. Well, genies are like spirits. So it's like, yeah, lead them in there. So that was one of the things that was
considered a, like a godly power.
Yeah, being able to do that.
Kind of sounds like someone made a deal with fucking Rofecali or whatever his name is.
Well, yeah, you could summon demons and stuff, could you not, with the ring?
Yeah, the ring was made of brass and iron, and you could use it to, like, you could use the seal that was, had, you know, which is like, I guess the two parts were used to seal written commands to good and evil spirits, I suppose. Like, it's kind of like,
why you gotta take it dark so fast? So you can also fucking do little with it.
Yeah, I mean, you could talk to animals.
To animals and all that stuff. Think about all the cool shit you could do with that.
Which is like, I thought that was a pretty cool thing, but always
don't fuck with the squirrels.
Don't fuck with squirrels, Morty.
Yeah.
At least in one of the tales about the Seal of Solomon, you do have the mention of Asmodeus, or Sakir, I think, is apparently one of them. It's said that Solomon usually had the custom of removing his ring when he was about to wash, and then he would give it to one of his wives, Amina, since he had multiple wives, and to hang on to it. Now, on one occasion, Amina had it, and a rebellious spirit, one they probably had taken control of before, took Solomon's form, actually shapeshifted into Solomon, and took the ring, and then seated himself as the king, as King Solomon, and ruled for 40 days in his stead.
Just morphed into Solomon and...
Yep, they kicked him out. Like, they ended up kicking him, Solomon, like, out of his own castle, like, out of his own temple, just out. And he's wandering around for, like, 40 days, apparently.
I feel like they made that a little bit more PC, because, you know, that's what the pimps used to do in all those old movies. They'd be like, make them hold the rings before they slapped them.
Yeah.
Hold my ring.
Yeah.
And according to legend, like, this was punishment for idolatry that was being practiced by one of his wives. But he didn't know about it. But apparently one of his wives was worshiping some idol. And then God was like, hey, it's your fault for not knowing. Mm-mm-mm. So take a hike, bud.
Blew it. Isn't this, I was reading too, that this might be where the Star of David came from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a hexagram. Like, it's the usual sign that is used to signify the Seal of Solomon. It's pretty neat.
To me, it just seems fishy that it's like you get the godly power of summoning jinns and demons. I'm like, well, sounds like someone else's power. But
isn't the end of that story too? He gets the ring back because the demon drops it in the water, gets eaten by a fish. And then the fish is caught by a fisherman.
Yep.
It's opened up. They give the ring back to him, and he gets his power back.
Yep. Well, because his punishment was over. It was on the 40th day. So his punishment was over. So, divine providence.
I guess so. I mean, there's billions of fish in there. Like, good thing you got the right fish with the ring in its mouth. I mean,
I'm sure it was purposeful, right? Like, that happened. His punishment was over. They made it happen. Yeah.
So you're saying that beside the Necronomicon and the Grand Grimoire, they have this Ring of Solomon.
Ring of Power.
They got Solomon's pink ring just sitting there.
Yeah, Solomon's pinky ring. Because they don't say finger it's on, so it's probably a pinky ring. I mean, come on. It's
definitely a pinky ring.
Interesting.
That was pretty
cool. Solomon. Weird. It's a weird thing to, like, a weird tale of, like, I just can't get over the summoning demons. I'm like, why would you say that's godly?
Just like, scold him. You got to summon him. It was originally given to him
because he asked for it, or he prayed for it, because one of the sons of the construction workers, like the foreman that was working on his temple, was possessed or thought to be possessed by a spirit. So he prayed to God for something to help him. And so he gave him this in order to call forth the spirit and
release.
Just because you would do some nefarious shit with it doesn't mean this guy's we all know you'd be summoning demons and be like, hey, listen, this is what this guy's going to give me. What can you give me? What's the deal here? Can you?
He summoned Rafakali. He's like, hey, give me some power. I want a ring that controls the demons. He's like, got to sell your soul, brother. He's like, done.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Yeah, little do you know I got this blasting stick, bud. Yeah.
Hey-o.
Probed him with it. Back to hell.
Back to hell.
That's what I'm saying. It's not the blasting. This is the Catholic Church we're talking about. Yeah. Blasting with those sticks, man. Be careful.
Demons giving it back to him. There's more to do with the Vatican archives we're going to get to, but we got to take a quick beer break.
And including aliens.
Of course. You know we're getting to the aliens.
We got to get more for it. We're going to get far out.
Yeah, we're going out there. All right, we'll be right back.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We're back.
What theory of secret archives would be complete without the archives containing perhaps evidence of aliens? Because
evidence that either of knowledge of remains or of possible live bodies, depending on which part of the internet you go looking for it.
You have this point made by numerous TV shows and authors and things like this, where you have an organization like the Catholic Church that has been had a relatively uninterrupted legacy for the last at least 1,000 years, and perhaps that they have some type of evidence or knowledge or documentation of either visitation by aliens or direct, physical evidence of the existence of aliens. There was a claim, I guess, made that there's this, unsubstantiated claim of alien skulls or some type of elongated or disfigured skulls that were discovered near or under the Vatican. Like, well, I found that in my research, and it was like one quick little blurb.
Well, yeah, there was a documentary called Alien Files Unsealed, and it came out.
Yeah, and I've watched that one.
I watched it like when we first started the pod. I was watching all these documentaries like that. And Alien Files Unsealed, the guy's pretty much saying, "Oh, this," because the Vatican came out and said, like, they acknowledge the existence of possible ET life because the galaxy is so vast. Because one thing about the Vatican is, like, Vatican astronomers, like, they got a lot of dollars behind them, and there's like an observatory there, and they own an observatory in like Arizona, so they're like they're astronomers. I mean, they're religious astronomers, mm-hmm. but they've changed face over the last like 50 years. Before it was like, God is the only being outside of Earth. Now they're like, no, God has probably many beings across the galaxy of different worlds similar to Earth. Like it's only possible that it has to be just by judging by the evidence. So then alien files, what's called unsealed alien files or alien files unsealed. I can't remember, but they pretty much made the claim because they interviewed the guy. What was his name? I had it right here. So they interviewed Dr. Jose Funes, who's like, he's the head of the Vatican Observatory. And they took what he said, like, oh yeah, we acknowledge that there must be other life out there. And then an ominous guy says, the Vatican admits that there's aliens at the Vatican. And you're like, oh fuck, really? And then you go searching for it and you can't find anything else except that documentary. I mean, yeah. But so they did acknowledge, like the scientists acknowledge that we must not be the only life just by this, like the vastness of the galaxy pretty much. But
yeah, the Catholic Church has had the concept of other worlds existing since like 300 AD. It is because in 384 AD, the actual belief of other worlds was categorized as heretical. So that's when, you know, so they had this kind of idea like floating around since then, but it wasn't until actually like 1593, you had one, a Dominican friar by the name of Giordano Bruno, who actually came up with like his own cosmology. And he was a philosopher, mathematician, and hermetic occultist. And he made the point and that there were other worlds. And he wrote a couple treatises and things like this that claimed that he was almost one of the first people to kind of acknowledge that the stars, like, were actual suns. Like, he's like, they are suns just like our sun is a star. So it's all the same. And they perhaps have their own worlds. And this was classified back then. This was considered heresy. So, of course, he was burned at the stake. But he is considered a martyr for science at this point, but the Catholic Church has not always been so keen about acknowledging that there are other worlds and things like this. So he
was giving the idea of like heliocentrism well before, like, because it wasn't until like 1500s that they said like, oh, so something happened in the Dark Ages where like we reverted back to like thinking that we're the center of the universe, like Earth is.
Well, in his kind of concept of the universe, Bruno, he conceptualized the universe as having no center, which is kind of in contrast to people like, I guess his contemporaries like Copernicus and Kepler, who thought the universe was spherical, like just a circle. Whereas kind of Bruno's a little bit more right, where it's kind of more like a plane, I guess, not like a really, it's not
a super massive.
You're saying it's flat.
It's a flat plane, yeah, baby. But what we can tell so far.
But no, he was one of, you know, you have a lot of, the Catholic Church is built on a lot of astronomy. Like a lot of their buildings are like astrological clocks and things like this. And they line up with celestial bodies and, but I mean, a lot of buildings do, a lot of religious buildings do, you know, when you center your religion around those kinds of events. But it is, I think it's kind of almost a testament to the flexibility of religion where it's like now people always kind of be like, oh, why would they keep it secret? That's always the question. Like, oh, why would they keep it secret? Oh, because it would destroy religion that if aliens existed. Where most, I think if you ask a lot of like theologians and you know, religious scholars now, like they're like, no, it wouldn't. Like it really, the concept of beings existing outside of Earth and being like that would, most of it, which is kind of fit
yeah,
in.
Yeah. But when I was in religious school, that idea of like other worlds was not ever talked about or anything. And that's, I think that's like more common than like believing that there's other worlds. Like that's I feel like that's a new age thing. Because before it was like, yeah, he created this world and all, and that was taught for years and years. So whatever, like whoever, so Bruno was burned in 1600. So the idea was that,
so
But that, so the idea was there, but I don't think until it's like a newer thing now that I don't know, because I haven't been to church in a long
time. Well, you had at least one, I can't remember the priest's name, but you actually had a Vatican astronomer and physicist who gave us the idea of the Big Bang. Like a Vatican scholar was responsible for that idea
and
creating it.
Yeah, and that I 100%. But I'm just saying that idea, it seems not as trickled down to like local community churches. Like that's not, you don't hear the pastor going up there and being like, hey guys, there's a bunch of aliens out there also, but we're just going to concentrate on our planet for now. That's always like it's always like concentrated on Earth is the only one.
Georges Lemaitre.
Who's that?
That's the guy. That's the guy that came with the Big Bang.
Right.
He's a Catholic priest.
Yeah. And yeah, but I also think that, like you said, yeah, I think it's a regional, it might be a regional thing too. Like a lot of, there are regional differences in some of the interpretations of religions and things like that. But as far as like Catholic scholars go, a lot of them like publish papers and things like this where it's, you know, aliens, if they existed, would just be another part of the plan. Like it wouldn't destroy anything. It wouldn't really change anything. They would just be like, okay, there's aliens, but they were also it doesn't change that everything was created by God or
no,
that they aren't part of the plan. It's just, it opens up another avenue for even more discussion about being like, well, even if you're like, okay, well, salvation is obtained through belief in Christ and his sacrifice. Perhaps these aliens have another, what if they have a Christ figure? And it's like, perhaps.
I thought they had a collection of alien skulls. That's what was my impression.
That is out there. That they found these alien skulls under the Vatican and like an old, because it's actually built, like the Vatican's built on an ancient Rome. Like,
yeah, all of Rome is.
All of, like, well, yeah.
Just, all of Rome is built on top of Rome.
An ancient Rome.
Just like graveyards of years and dead of people.
Building. Are we sure that they're alien skulls and not maybe some like ancient demon skull or something like that? Well, maybe. The one I saw looked like a fucking demon.
Same thing.
I saw that same one. So there's a story of this guy who was on a tour of the Vatican. He was like, hey, I got to pee. Made some serious wrong turns, end up in some catacombs he wasn't supposed to. And inside one of these rooms was this like encased like demon skull.
It looks like it was elongated
as hell. I don't know if it's elongated, not really. Where was the picture? I'm sure we could pull it up and post it. It was freaky as hell.
Alien skull Vatican. I couldn't find anything, but
yeah. Let me see if I can pull it. But yeah, from my readings, it's like they have a collection of alien looking skulls, like straight out of the Alien movies. Maybe they were used as props.
I mean, there were a lot. I mean, there's a lot of cheesy Italian sci-fi movies that were shot. So, I mean, possibly it could be props slipped over from some shitty Italian dubbed over sci-fi movie.
So, hold on. I'm going to send.
Well, when I search it, it pulls up the Peruvian elongated skulls.
Here, I'm going to put up this chat and then click that link, post that picture. This is the picture the guy took. But it's terrifying looking. And apparently, well, I mean, allegedly, this thing is just sitting encased in some, you know, dark private room where you're not supposed to be going.
But if this guy just stumbled in when he's taking a pee, it must not be that heavily guarded.
Well, you know the catacombs? He probably made a couple turns, didn't know how to get back.
But I mean, that's a YouTube video, but that doesn't say it's the actual picture of it, does it?
Yeah, no, that's the legit picture.
Yeah, it's in the group chat.
No, I looked at it. Like it, but it's in that thing. It's the video says that's an actual photo of it.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the guy. I heard the story a little differently. It was a guy that was like doing some type of maintenance somewhere. He was like a maintenance man and he ended up stumbling upon it, but
snapped a quick pic of this horrid split skull demon with this weird face.
Oh my God.
It's terrifying.
That doesn't look like... That looks like the Necronomicon just like with added teeth on the bottom.
Yeah. It's freaky looking. But I mean...
Kind of reminds me of the fucking vampires from Blade 2.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that could easily be an alien skull too, right? Like, how do we know?
Terrifying alien.
Alien race.
Oh, man. If that's an alien... Give me the fucking little grays any day. I don't want to fuck with that guy.
I'll take the guy with no mouth, no nostrils, and, you know, no muscles.
To me, I'm like... If they had evidence of aliens like that would go against everything they teach and stuff, why keep it? why wouldn't you just destroy it? Why wouldn't you destroy any of that evidence? To me, that doesn't really hold up that they would have evidence of aliens and stuff that they're like, we got to keep the secret because if this gets out, we're ruined. It's like, well, just destroy it then. Like,
well, it almost makes more sense if there was aliens and the church accepted that and we found that aliens were true. And then the aliens had similar origin stories as humanity of like they had like a, you know, they had the same type of stories. You'd be like, okay, well, maybe this story transcends, you know, the galaxy or the universe. And the God, I mean, people give God so many different names, but maybe there is like a central God and the stories on like, if you went to like an alien planet, they're like old, they're like, they might've been like evolved past religion or whatever now, but their old stories would still be similar to like, you know, the resurrection of Christ or insert name. There's a whole bunch of different names for it, but that would almost give more credence to religion if we met an alien species who had similar stories. So
I think that's a drawing.
It doesn't, honestly, it does not look real in any sense.
It looks like a drawing. I'm pretty sure.
No, it doesn't look real to you. The fact that its mouth is like,
no, I mean, everything around, everything around that, like it is like, I believe that's a painting.
Yeah. Around it. There's like shelves around it with like, what's on the shelves?
I'm just saying like,
it's hard to get a good judge of size too on that skull. But I mean, I hope, you know, maybe I wouldn't say that it would ruin religion, but it might like shake religion because, you know, a lot of religious people maybe do not believe in aliens for whatever reason. Maybe they're just maybe they're waiting for the right time. They'd be like, yeah, here we go. You know, in 50 years from now, everyone's more accepting of not just religious scholars, just like religious common people are more accepting.
I know a lot of them that don't believe in COVID. So aliens, so that's fine.
It's hard to convince people sometimes, you know?
Well, you can believe that there's some guy in the sky that's making magic, but you can't believe that there's a button anyways.
Anyways, you believe the guy in the sky the guy in the sky made COVID. It was all part of his plan.
Yeah. Your imaginary friend, but never.
Anyways. Like I said, it's just hard for me to believe that if they had something that would go against, like, would hurt their power, that they would keep it intact.
You'd just destroy it. Yeah.
You would just destroy it.
Yeah, I agree. If there was like, if they really thought aliens were going to destroy their religion, then just get rid of it. Why keep it?
Yeah, why hold it?
Well, not only that though, like what we're going to talk about next, they have like fucking shit that could unravel their entire religion that's hidden in these fucking archives as well, supposedly. So I think it's just a power move.
They want it.
Nobody else can have it.
Okay, so lay it on us. What do they have that could possibly derail the entire?
Well, I don't know if it necessarily, if this is what Andrew's referring to, I don't know if it necessarily would unravel, but it would definitely cause a bit of challenging to some concepts that are central to the Catholic Church or beliefs. So one of the things that may have a bit more credibility, I think like this could possibly actually be in there, is the official records or things like, or something to that effect of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, like the actual bloodline that he was either survived, like he survived the crucifixion by some, the rumors and legends of how he perhaps, or theories of how he could have survived the crucifixion. There are a bunch of wild ones.
So he survived the crucifixion and he didn't get brought back to life and bench press that fucking boulder out of his way on Easter.
4,000 pound boulder.
Eggs to all the kids.
Yeah. He either survived it or he wasn't even up there apparently. So it could have been somebody else that there's some, when you have a legend as popular as the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, you have a bunch of different stories and stuff like this from different, you know, interpretations of other religions. But perhaps within the Vatican archives, you would have something to the effect of, some people theorize that they perhaps have some sort of recorded conversation that took place between Emperor Nero of Rome and Saint Paul, the disciple, who was held prisoner by Emperor Nero and eventually executed.
I'm not sure if you're very familiar with Emperor Nero, but like world-class piece of shit, mm-hmm. like historically bad,
really
human being. Like we're talking using fucking Christians burning as his fucking like candlelight.
He was the Hitler of the day.
Of the day, yeah.
Back then.
Like, oh, dude, horrible human being.
Yeah,
absolutely terrible.
He foisted off the whole great fire, Roman fire, or whatever. He put that, he blamed that on the Christians.
That's where Rome burnt down, like almost to the ground, and he blamed that the Christians started it.
Yeah, he forced the blame on Christians of the day. And, you know, he had Rome, he had St. Paul, or he wasn't a saint then, but Paul, the disciple, had visited Rome at that point, got his hands on him. He imprisoned him and then executed him as part of the whole thing. But yeah, they're saying that perhaps there was some correspondence between the two. There were written letters and things like that between the two. And perhaps
going against
referring to the survival of the bloodline of Jesus Christ.
So either he survived it or he had children or something to do with his, like Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. Then we get into Da Vinci Code and.
Yeah, you get into the Opus Da Vinci Code stuff, which is kind of drawn from both like Gnostic interpretations of Christianity. And there's also like a section of Christianity. I know the Cathars or the Cathars. There's another sect of Christianity. I haven't looked super deep into it because it's really involved and stuff like that. And didn't want to get too deep into it, but there is some theory that Mary Magdalene was more than a prostitute on the street and was perhaps, there are claims that she was involved with Jesus and they had had children. Perhaps they were either lovers or they were married at some point. There are some theologians and biblical scholars that make the point that it would have been normal for Jesus to marry. Like it was normal for rabbis back then, Jewish rabbis to marry. So it would have perhaps.
Well, dude, even if he didn't marry, you know, and he kind of slummed around a bit. He's taken all the sins with him when he goes. Commit a few on your own. Take them with you. No big deal.
What? You got to die for a few of your own sins. Come on.
If you're taking everyone else's, honest, get a couple of your own in you.
To be honest, like this having conversations and shit, I'm like, well, you would have all the conversations if you have a chronovisor.
They didn't have right? it.
You would have all this information.
Coronavirus.
We should have finished with the chronovisor because I'm like, if the chronovisor is real, they have all this because they can just like, put it on.
They pretty much fucking TiVo'd all of history. They got it all right there, ready to fucking go.
Well, maybe the conditions had to be right during the day for the signal to like transcend time, like bounce around right. Maybe if it, you know, conversations at night maybe didn't carry. Maybe they died.
You can't pick some up. You can't get the right if you're, you know, if the celestial alignment is off and you know those EM waves didn't bounce off of Jupiter's moons just the right way. You know, like you can't get it on you gotta adjust the rabbit ears on the thing because they had antennas, right? So it's like you gotta like move those around. If you didn't line them up right, maybe you
well everybody knows everything. That the signals are obscured by the Christians burning at the stake.
Mm. All that smoke from all the burning bodies.
It just doesn't work that way.
Everything up. Now, you know?
Like a Nero.
My final thoughts on the Vatican is that I'm sure there is some.
You can't get your final thoughts yet. We've got to talk about Zell's favorite part of this whole fucking case file.
What? What's
been
that?
Chomping at the bit for this part.
This is the very small part. I was going to save it right for the end. So if that's pretty much all the main ones. So, I mean, we got to talk about. I mean, I have a few things. What's our time at? What do we got?
What we get? We got last time.
Hour 10.
Gotta get to Mr. Icky.
You want to talk about the relationship between the architecture of the Vatican and the reptilian race controlling our planet? We almost have to get there. So if you start searching around, you get. So it's called. What is it called? The Paul the Sixth Audience Hall, which is where. It was developed, I think it was finished construction in 77. It's where the Pope gives his big addresses. It holds like 6,600 people. It's like a stadium church. But from above and from the inside, it has characteristics that seem to resemble a snakehead, a reptilian. So, I mean, there's really only...
Coincidence? I think not.
I mean, when you look at it...
Well, there's a fascination with snakes in ancient cultures, right? Like, so it's...
Through all...
Man, it's almost snakes have been around as long as people have, and they kind of suck sometimes. and are kind of scary.
Exactly.
So scary.
Or they're the ones in charge.
They're the
race. They want you to be scared of them.
But think about this though. Okay, so here's the audience hall.
Oh,
dude, that looks like a snake. That's a snake for the fangs, the eyes. That's a snake.
I thought you were talking out of your ass, but now I'm like, that's 100% snake.
I don't know. That's a snake. It kind of looks like a Pacific pufferfish to me. So
that's a snake.
No, but if you think, look, you have the eyes. So if you're just listening, there's
the fangs.
There's two giant like stained glass eyes. The roof looks like a scaly serpent. And on
that looks like a pufferfish.
Dan? No.
Dan, it's got fangs.
Don't have fangs.
Get out of here with your puffer fish.
Why can't we have puffer fish overlord?
Dan, just look at the fangs. You look like more like a puffer fish than
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's why I'm in charge.
Dude, look at the fangs on the stage. So if you're
fangs.
This is the point of view of this is from the rear of the audience facing the Pope. The Pope would be on the stage.
So what you would be looking at if you were in the fucking crowd or just walking.
Yeah, down. And the Pope sits right dead center, asymmetrical in the middle of the two fangs, the reptilian head, and the two eyes.
This is it. The Pope's a fucking reptilian. It's over. That's it. It's done.
Pope's a pufferfish. Pope and pufferfish both start with P.
Pufferfish don't have fangs. Where's the fangs?
It's not fangs. It's just teeth.
Dan, your theory holds fangs. No They're water.
Sharp. And this is the outside of the building.
Oh, that's a snakehead too.
That's a snakehead.
Oh my!
Dan, try to spin that into a pufferfish. That's a snakehead.
Like, that doesn't look more like that. Looks like a manta ray.
Where's the fucking wings?
Where's the shape like a manta ray?
Look at the mouth right there. It's the mouth right there. You got the eyes over here.
Oh, Dan. This is the fucking reptilian head if I've ever seen one.
Have you seen one?
Yes, I'm looking at it right now.
I've caught a few snakes in my time.
I'm starting to wonder if you've ever seen a pufferfish.
Have you seen a reptilian head? I'm not asking if you've seen a snake.
Oh, of course, Dan. They're all over the galaxy. I've seen them all. It's exactly what they look like. And they obviously upscaled it.
Listen, Dan's just trying to fucking take us away from the truth here.
No.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
What's going on, Dan?
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to reveal the truth. I'm trying to lead you guys to the right place that the pufferfish are in charge.
What about Dan, the fuck? What was the other thing you're talking about? The stingrays or some shit? What
stingrays
about
the stingrays? I've been around for millions of years. They've been around longer than snakes.
Hey, listen, if you don't shut the fuck up about these pufferfish, we're doing Simpsons Part 2 next week.
Hey, that's fine with me. I like the Simpsons. I've been waiting for Simpsons Part 2. I got plenty more references ready to go.
Oh, it's coming.
No. Yeah, that's an empty threat. You got to throw some true crime out there and then you
We're doing some true crime next week. The pufferfish is ludicrous, Dan. You're out of your mind. You've had too many twisted T's. You've twisted your brain.
I think he's a reptilian. You guys' minds have been clouded by the pufferfish overlords, dude. Their supreme psychic powers have taken you guys for a ride. You guys are leading in the completely opposite direction than where you need to be looking right now.
Didn't Homer eat a pufferfish one time?
Why do you think there are so many fountains in Rome? Water. Pufferfishes.
Snakes go in water too.
Yes, so do snakes to cool down.
Swim.
Some snakes do, not all snakes. All pufferfish are in water.
Well, I mean, you can't argue on that one.
Someone make a shirt where you transform Dan's head into a pufferfish, please.
Fully expanded too. Glasses and all, just wrapped
around.
Glasses
are barely hanging on. That's what I want to see on the Facebook meme page.
Anyways, to finish off this theory, in this case, the theory would be that the aliens hired the reptilians hired this dude to build it for them in the form of a snakehead. But the reptilians probably don't like their facial features probably is not a snake. It's reptile like, but not snake like. This is like a snake like building. That's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But then on stage, it's called the piece called The Resurrection. Have you ever seen this? That's behind the Pope. Oh. It's like it's supposed to represent like Jesus rising from a apocalyptic.
From hell,
like an apocalypse. And then I don't got a good picture of it. Couldn't find one. But if you zoom in on his head.
It's terrifying.
It looks like a reptile.
And they only have white snake cover bands playing there.
Well, so hold on. Do you not have a picture of it zoomed in? You're just going to make that claim and not show us?
I couldn't find it. I couldn't find one that goes with this video I watched.
All right. You know what? Sorry, Dan. I might be on Team Pufferfish if you're not going to pull up a picture. How do I know that Jesus head isn't puffed up?
You zoom on that. You see that?
I can't tell if it's, I can't tell if it's a
bullshit.
It's definitely more pufferfish than it is a reptile.
It's hard to see. I'll have to look.
I can only find a good video in or a good, a good angle.
I'll hashtag
video.
Look it up after.
It all comes down to the fact that if they play White Snake or Hootie and the Blowfish, then we'll know. Simple as that.
The Pope comes up to every time I look at you, I go blind. In the morning,
here I go again. I'm out. Jesus was Jesus healed the blind. I mean,
he also loved to get smashed too.
Hey, you eat a pufferfish, you know, Japanese pufferfish gets you kind of high.
Anyways, there's a lot of lot more on the Vatican, different theories. I mean, there's like the reverse God theory that the Vatican's been taken over by Satan. That's why all this pedophilia and stuff is rampant through the Catholic Church. And then on and on, all the other banking conspiracies.
I can get on board with that. That would make sense for why it's such an awful fucking place ran by terrible people.
Well, just the cover-ups are beyond staggering. You can go look it up. It's the amount of court cases and lawsuits, and it's ridiculous. It's
dude, there's so much bad that's come out of that fucking place. Like, it's absolutely insane. That is, like, for the size of that country, that is easily the most evil, concentrated fucking place ever. That's got lakes and lakes of that purple shit, the perp plus from fucking Ghostbusters 2 just running under there in those secret tunnels. It's an awful place.
And when we work up the stomach to explore that topic, we will. There's no part two coming anytime soon, but eventually maybe we can get into all that stuff. It seems like more comes up every month, so...
I was reading something that's got the highest crime rate in the world.
For pickpockets.
It's like population-wise, though.
Well, I mean, there's 600 people, so there's one assault. It's like per capita. It's
reptilians, blowfish, and Satan, man. It's not a good place.
The unholy union of reptilians and blowfish.
It is the pickpocket capital of the world, I believe.
Yeah, because there's so many fucking tourists.
This tourist, these guys go in like
24/7.
Oh, I just dropped my watch here. Oh, I got your wallet and your cell phone and your keys to your
hotel. You always carry your shit in your front pockets.
That's why I always wear a funny pack.
Always put your stuff down your pants. No one's going to get you.
Mm-hmm.
A little pocket down there.
Clench it.
Where you wear two pairs of underwear.
Zell, you're forgetting where you are, buddy. You're the Vatican. Not a lot of stuff safe in your pants.
Okay, fair. I mean, I'm a little too old. I think they wouldn't care.
Maybe. I don't know. You shaved. You're looking pretty young.
I did drop a few years off the face there, but all right. We could go all day on more theories, but I think that's it for today.
I think when we're looking at, I'm sure there's stuff in the Vatican that is hidden knowledge, you know, that they control and, you know, some of it powerful. But if it's going to hurt the church, I don't believe for a second that there's documents and stuff that would directly hurt the church's power. Because what would be the pros of keeping that in existence? If it ever got out, you would lose all your power and credibility. You would just destroy that. It's like when they're like, oh, you break the Vatican, they have all these secret, the anti-church docs. I'm like, what? You just burn them. We just burn them.
Yeah, but this is a place that's wrapped in scandal after scandal after scandal. And a lot of these people who are pieces of shit are still fucking working. They're still priests.
Yeah.
And, like, so why don't they burn them or fire them or get rid of them? Like,
buddy, they got a strong union.
I guess. I don't know.
Talked a lot of tithe.
But like, as for like ancient, you know, grand grimoires and stuff like that of like ancient arts and stuff or maybe... stuff, you know, to open consciousness or stuff like that, or books of just like this kind of weird knowledge. Sure, I'm sure they have tons of stuff like that. And not that it would necessarily hurt them, but maybe it would give people, you know, various powers to control themselves or make themselves a better person. And they don't want that. They want to keep the thumb over everyone. But again, if it was too hurtful, I believe they would just destroy this stuff. As for the Chronovisor, why not? That would be a powerful thing to have, and you just have someone looking through it all the time, making notes.
Yeah, I think I would tend to agree with you, Braden. But I also think if there is that many like scriptures and documents and books and conversations of like Pope's letters and stuff, they might just, and they don't let that many people down there. They might just not know, you know, what half the shit is down there. They've just never even bothered to go look at it because, like, eh, it's been there for 1,000 years. Like, we don't know.
You gotta have good cardio to get to the end of those shelves, man.
52 miles, man? Fuck.
Yeah, fuck that.
Whoever's running those lines would be leading the running challenge right now. Day in, day out, searching for scriptures.
Get those steps in, yeah.
I think, you know, there's probably stuff from the ancient world that if we could find it and decipher it, oh, it might shed some light. It might change history a little bit. So either maybe they've just never read it or, I mean, what are you blinking a lot there?
I was just batting my eyes. People are getting lost in them.
Stuck in his eyes.
No. People are getting lost in them in the chat. So I thought I'd just bat them at him.
Better be careful. Bit. Your contacts are going to follow.
Pop. Anyways, yeah. As far as aliens go, I mean,
it's a filter.
As far as aliens, I hope, and the corona, I hope all that stuff, more info comes out. Let's say I'm hoping for that. Andrew, what do you think?
I don't know what to think. I think this shit is cool. I think it's, you know, I'm glad we focus on this part because it's fun and it's interesting. Like I'd love to think that they have cool shit like that locked away in the Vatican. Do they really though? Probably not.
A lot of nonsense.
Probably a bunch more make-believe stories, but I don't know. I have no idea. It's fun to talk about though. It's fun to theorize. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a place of history, if nothing else. Long, totally. Extended human history. So that's pretty cool. Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, when you have an organization with such a long history and relatively uninterrupted, like the Vatican, of course they're going to have stuff in their important historical documents that are one of a kind, unique, we haven't seen. Will they lead some huge revelation? Probably not. Like Braden made the good point. It's like, why would you keep it? Why wouldn't you just burn it? Like if this says, you know, Jesus escaped to French Gaul and became married into the, you know, the Franks who lived there at the time. Like, why would you
change his name to Jesus?
Boom, gone. No, change his name to Clovis or whatever. Yeah, well, there'd be no reason to keep it because if you want to portray Jesus as a divine being, then yeah, you wouldn't want to keep that stuff. But yeah, is there a lot of cool stuff in there? Probably. There's a lot of stuff that could lend a lot different views or shape the context of how we see certain events that happen in history. Sure, there's probably a bunch of that stuff in there. And it kind of sucks that a lot of it is in Latin and they only let out so much every now and then. But they do release documents every now and then, like when they release the documents, like the correspondence of like Pope Pius XII and during his time as Pope, which was right there at the beginning of World War II, all of those things, like they do release stuff and there's things in there that can give us important and unique points of view into history, which is kind of neat. Like I find that extremely interesting. So.
Yeah,
I wonder, maybe they keep that shit just like the same reason serial killers keep like fucking shit that can get them busted, like, you know, piece of their ID or their clothes just to be like, ha, we got these fuckers.
Technically they still do believe in curses because there was the whole matter of, is it St. Paul or St. Paul's bones or something like that, where they thought they found it and they wouldn't let people look at them
for a while because
they thought there was a 1,000-year curse on them. So, they still have that. Like
you exercise the demons. What's that called again?
Exorcisms.
Exorcism by phone.
The demons.
They're doing them by phone. That's what I learned researching this case file.
I had that lined up, but I'll save it for the next one because they've done like thousands and thousands of exorcisms, even in modern times.
We can call them up and get one done
by phone.
Skype.
They opened up the exorcism course to other denominations. Like, don't have to be Catholic. You can be other Christianity. And they've been teaching everyone how to exorcise demons. So,
Pastafarians.
It's cool. I don't think they discriminate on religion anymore. You can go.
Money's money, man.
You got demons.
Whoever pays. Yeah,
got to pay for those lawsuits somehow.
Yeah.
All right, but we'll get to that. We'll come back to it.
All right. Fire up the old Randomatron.
Rando, here we go. Printing.
Uh-oh. You know what this is? Little space news!
Spitting out something.
We don't have a lot of space news, but the one we have is pretty cool. I didn't know NASA's Ingenuity was a transformer.
Fuck yeah, it is.
I thought we landed a rover, and next thing you know, it's got wings and it blasts off. It's a helicopter.
Well, there's two separate. There's like the rover, and then there's a chopper, like drone that's attached to it that takes off.
Yeah, and they did a controlled flight. It now is the Guinness Book of World Records for the furthest RC helicopter.
It's the first aircraft of its kind on a separate planet.
Yeah. So it took off, did a test flight, flew up, and then they landed it back down.
39 seconds, it was in the air. It's cool. It's just cool. This is a cool fucking thing. Like
if a helicopter on Mars.
You fly a rover like the hundreds of millions of kilometers at the perfect time, or you fly a spacecraft with a rover. You launch the rover from the spacecraft. It controlled crashes into the planet, wheels out like a four-wheel rover, and then also has a helicopter, which they can control from Earth that's hundreds of millions of kilometers away. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
It's wild.
So 39 seconds, first flight, accomplished all the major milestones like hover, turn left, turn right, all the other stuff. Yeah,
and so coming up on space news, they crash. They crash the helicopter on Mars.
Next record, first aircraft collision.
Yeah.
On Mars.
Yeah. And it's going to collide with the ground.
Or back with the rover, comes back in, rotors flying, just smashes the rover into the ground. Hopefully not.
This is going to happen. But hopefully not too soon. Hopefully we get a couple more good flights out of it. That's all I had for space news. You guys have anything?
That was really the... I mean, that's the biggest space news in a long time, so...
Yeah, there hasn't been really a lot going on in space.
But. A lot of like CubeSat launches, but stuff we've covered a million times. It's not newsworthy anymore. There's so much stuff flying up to space that you can't cover every launch anymore, so...
All right, that's it. Let's shut down the randomatron for the night.
She done.
We don't need two tonight, yeah.
All right, bringing back Song of the Week again. Last week was a success. Some people listened. I really appreciate it. So if you're an unsigned band, I'm changing it to actually Song of the Week because you don't have to be a band, just an artist. If you're just a singer, you're a rapper, whatever, you got an original song, send it in to alientheorists@gmail.com. Make sure to put music submission in the title or the title. Fuck, what am I talking? I got fucking stoned as hell at halftime there. Anyway, send in your song.
Stoned? We forgot our theory of the week, or
that's coming up after this.
Oh, okay. Are we into that after the band? I thought the band comes last.
Well, I always read shit last.
Okay.
Well, I guess we could do the band last.
Well, I don't know if you're gonna play is the band like the new outro music?
It's at the very end. It's just part of the episode. Anyways, it's our buddy, good buddy from Kelowna, BC, D. Lopez. He's just released a full album. Song's called Breaking Down, featuring
Stoned
as hell. Breaking Down, featuring Danny Lyon. It's a dope rap track. Stick around for the end.
Theory of the week. Well, I guess we're going to give it to Kyle Goodrich.
Oh, yeah.
The master Facebook. Fucking troll.
Master troll.
Next level troll. He even fucked with our heads.
So he was on the Facebook group posting misinformation and hashtag fake news. He was posting Photoshop edits of the Mandela Effect.
Oh, I did see
claiming that.
Claiming
that his Spotify feed was rapidly changing. And how are we doing this? And posting audio over top of video, straight up trolling,
genius level trolling.
Like three different posts too.
Genius level intellect, basically, is this guy trolling.
We questioned ourselves.
We did.
I did.
We legitimately questioned ourselves.
At one point, I thought Zell was just pranking us and hadn't told us. That's what I thought.
And I thought the same thing. I was like, did Braden figure out how to get into the feed? But I was like, that's impossible because Spotify owns the feed and you actually can't edit once I submit. Like, I can't go back in. Once we send them the file, if we send the wrong file, we fucked up. You can't go back.
So kudos to Kyle Goodrich for your excellent use of Photoshop.
Amazing.
And Phonautoshop, whatever it's called. And your use of trolling everyone. It caused some great panic on the Facebook group.
It did.
mass hysteria.
Mass hysteria in our group chat. I'd be like, what is real? What is happening? But we got to the bottom lives. Of it. Congratulations, Kyle Goodrich. You're the Theorite of the Week.
Boom. All right, if you're not supporting the show on Patreon already and you want early access to case files, live stream, Discord, bonus stuff, head over to patreon.com/alientheoristpodcast or find the link in the podcast description. This week we have Irish wrist watch. I'm trying to give me fucking tongue twisters on this now. Last week someone tried to say I swallow cum. Just people are getting to me. Hunt Warness went up. Dustin Begbie. Full year pledge by Ray Combs.
Woo.
Jennifer Glenk. Emily Moulton. Another year pledge by Devin Cartelli.
Yeah.
Ethan King. Joshua DeLuca. Ben. Melissa. Elaine Tremblay. Kyle Crowley goes up to the top tier pledge. We appreciate it.
Woo!
Alien Beans and Alex Castellano. Thank you very much for supporting the show.
And as we always say at the end of things, keep those eyes on the skies.
See you in After Hours.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.